DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who became a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. What are you seeing, if you can share with us, Monsignor, the fears or the wounds that seem to be predominant?
One of the major areas that prevent us from being fully alive in Christ is fear. Mm-hmm. More than anything, our Lord said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And of course, one of our recent popes had made that. Don't be afraid. Put out into the deep. So that to overcome our fears is a major hurdle, which often prevents us from living fully as children of God. We need trust, because in these dark times, we need trust in God, so that when we ask Him, for whatever you ask, the Father will give you. Ask in my name, whatever you ask, to overcome the fears that come. You know, how many people have mortgages, payments, low employment, underemployment, unemployment, and the kind of fears that can just circle and encircle people. I would say the major thing that prevents us from living in the freedom of God, that keeps us bound, and as one of the directees talked about it, enslaved. He said, "I really have come out of Egypt. I came out of a family that were in slavery, and my whole family is still in Egypt. They're still among the slaves." And with this beautiful awareness of being freed from all these things that I grew up with in my family, I have been living without fear. And I think that is one of the most enslaving characteristic that I know, fear.
In Acts of the Apostles, where Paul enters the city and he's fearful, and Jesus speaks to him and says, "Do not be afraid. I have many friends in this city." I think what happens sometimes when we're afraid, we causes us to go into isolation. That is the last thing. I mean, just as you're speaking, the person that shared with you needed that companion to help them to make that passage out of Egypt.
How many people from childhood don't realize that they're entering into this land of panic, worry, anxiety, and hardly have an awareness of that until, you know, their lives become so crippled by all kind of paranoia and all kinds of fears that just grip. I think it's so much in our modern society. Really, the locks on our doors and the kinds of protection we have are symbolic of fear. Tell a story of Francis of Assisi, who during his time, and he and his brothers were going into this town that had been so brutalized, and where the neighbors and the people had caused them so much damage and suffering that they all had their doors locked, the windows shuttered, and they were all kind of locked in. And he just went in there. These brothers that were free, free from the fear, free from getting beaten, because they didn't care. They were there. You know, what can anybody do to us? They can't do it. All they can do is kill us if they want to, and we're not afraid of that. So they were free, totally depending on God. And they went in, and they gave a retreat in this town. And they, come on out. Open your doors. Come out. And the people gradually kind of peeking through the windows and saw these crazy Franciscan brothers out there having a good time and a party and the festival and prayer and singing and joyful. And eventually all the doors got unlocked. The people came out and they began to see that there was no need to be afraid. And I don't know how, if it's true till today, but I did hear that. And he was saying how he had left the town, all the locks on the doors were all thrown open, the windows were unlatched and so on. They said that even until today, even to modern times, for all these years, that town has doors that don't have locks. That spirit of freedom from fear. And what about if this could happen in our whole world? What are our bombs doing? Protecting us from one another? Or going to destroy us? Who's getting a bomb? Who's getting a bomb? What is that for? So that we become more afraid and more afraid and more defense and more war and the fear of one another. Yeah, there are evil people in the world, and there are people like Al-Qaeda who are out to do us harm, and we want to protect ourselves. When I go through all the securities, for instance, of airports today, because people in their madness really want to kill one another, what a great thing it would be, wouldn't it really, if we could begin to see that we could live without fear? Couldn't that be a great thing to pray for? And what an unshackling it would be for us to personally and as a community, as a family, just to be unafraid.
I think of Our Lady when the wedding feast of Cana, that the one word I always hold on to, it's whatever. Do whatever he tells you. And she was open to do whatever the Father willed, no matter what, because she was so in the heart of the Trinity. You've always spoken about that. Yes. She dwelled in the heart of the Holy Trinity.
And he was so devoted to the will of his Father that he would never have done what he did unless his Father had asked him to. So that which is the will of our Father, and what is that will for all of us personally and for all of mankind? The Father's plan for all of us is that we will, can you imagine this? Think of this in your imagination. The Father's will for the whole world is that we live in harmony with one another. Not only in heaven, but here on earth, that man has it within his grasp and within the power, it's in the power of man here on earth to live in this world in total peace. When Paul VI went to the United Nations and said, no more war. No more war. Wow. Yeah. How prophetic. And as the vicar of Christ, and Christ continuing through the power of the Spirit, Spirit of peace, to bring peace to every human heart, every person longs for, desires, wants this peace. We want to have this freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, freedom from worry. You actually can get up in the morning and live today without fear. You can live each and every day without fear. And for that, we're going to need new eyes, new ears, new heart, new lips, new hands. We're going to have to live in Christ and with Christ. The design of God is that every human being can live in Christ and through him and with him in this world, so that he who becomes the king of the world, the king of love, will now reign as king of peace. That is his call. Magnificent Sunday today, Trinity Sunday, that God in his love for us, we never knew, you know, they say the three monotheistic religions, the Jewish religion, the Christian, and the Muslim, that these three religions reveal that God is one. Well, God further revealed himself. Re velare means he pulled a veil back on his face and revealed himself to be a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. That there are three persons. There is one God, the one infinite, eternal God is triune. He is three. He is a person who is the Father. So he's a family. And he has a Son. And the union between them, that ocean of love in which they exist, is the Holy Spirit. And that powerful, always was, God always was, in his eternity, and in his infinity, and he always will be. But there was a point when he created time, when he created this universe, and it had a beginning, and it will have an end. And in this space and in this time, we have been born. Our history has been so broken because our first parents refused to keep the plan of God, who designed them to be in this world as husband and wife and as a family. Well, this couple has created a universe of people. 6 billion of their children live in the planet today. And God, in his infinite wisdom, sent down his Son, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So that Trinity's plan, he suffered, he died, he rose, and he went back to heaven. And he sent the Holy Spirit. And from that time on, this church, which has existed and has been expanding throughout the whole world, it's spread throughout the whole world, is now in its infancy still in this world. It's just beginning to have that message for the entire world. All of us can, and the plan is that we live in harmony.
We'll return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Issa in just a moment. This is Chris McGregor. The work of Discerning Hearts could not continue without your prayers and support. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift. Click Donate at either discerninghearts.com or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Your generous support will allow us to continue our podcast for those on the discerning journey. Thank you and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. from the desire of being esteemed.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved.
Deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected.
Deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I.
That others may be esteemed more than I.
That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease.
That others may be chosen and I set aside.
That others may be praised and I unnoticed.
That others may be preferred to me in everything.
That others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
We now return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esser. God is love, Monsignor. In that family, it sounds as though only love is supposed to reign.
That's all there is. You see, If God is love, there is nothing else. Hatred is an absence of that love. Darkness is an absence of that light, of that truth. And so he who is truth, he who was beauty, he who was love, has always been and wants to create this little world of ours. And it's just a little globe, in it's a little speck that goes around one of the stars in the universe, the sun, and it has on it these little critters, humankind, and God. When you get out way out there in space and look down and see how small it is and tiny. And he's sending all kind of angels and all kind of assistance for us to get into this. And we're finding a hard time. But there are those who break through. And then they get these new eyes and these new hands and all of these who are going to work together in harmony for the salvation and redemption of the world.
Can you speak to that heart that feels they're in Egypt? Listening to you, they're feeling, I don't have that. I'm fearful. I'm scared. Or the worst, that God doesn't love me. I'm not lovable. I'm isolated. But that person listening right now, what would you say to them, Monsignor?
There are those who are born into this world. And the particular, I notice that as our world gets darker in this time and space, that the family structure begins to become more and more self-centered, because there is that capacity in every human being. God chose the word Father. So As you contemplate your existence in this world, each of us came into this world by a father. Now, the father's plan from all eternity, who is our true father and our creator, was that that person who had that seed that biologically created you would be one who would care for you. And the order of family was created by God with a free will, and this desire and power that he has for procreation. So your existence in the world, as I speak with you, was really mainly called by the Father in heaven. God, your Father, wanted you. He is the principal reason why you're here. Your earthly dad may or may not have wanted you. He may have practiced birth control. He may have tried to use a condom. They may have even tried to abort you. But you are here. God wanted you. And all kinds of stories are told by all kinds of people. Now, you are one of them as you listen. What is your history of coming into the world? And so God's plan was that you come into the world, a father who would care for you and a mother who would love you and care for you. And so when you came into the world, you came in totally dependent, completely on your dad and on your mom to feed you, to care for you, to protect you, to watch over you when you were sick, to be present to you. Now, your personal history in your relationship with that dad or mom, in its beginning or during some particular stage of your life, may begin to have caused you many fears, because what you have in you, in that deepest part of you, created by God and made by God for him. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and we shall not rest until we rest in thee. So in the deepest part of my being, I'm searching for that Father who will completely and totally protect me. And he is also searching for you. You in your fear, you in your anxiety, you in your whatever circumstance you're in now, he has been searching for you, wanting you. You may think you're far from him, but you're not. All you have to do is turn around. He's right there. If you turn, and you will see him in every moment of your life. He was always there from the day you were conceived. In Psalm 139, the Bible tells us, I knit you in your mother's womb. Your mother didn't make you. She carried you, your earthly mother. It was God. Who but God can make this baby? Is there any so arrogant person in this world that say they can make a child? God made me. God sustains me. And then I was born, and your birthday, God danced with joy. He was waiting for you. He loves you. And some of us in the beginning of our lives did turn to him. Some of us, because of circumstances, became very fearful and insecure. When you become insecure in a family, you can either pretend you're fine and you can have a face that is compliant, but your inner self is anxious, worried, nervous. But you're only looking at your mom and your dad and you're complying, although they really are causing you great insecurity by not really caring for you. Maybe that's your history. Maybe you grew up, they thought you were a goody-goody, but internally, you were always afraid. You always had this anxiety. Or maybe when you got insecure, you rebelled against them. Maybe your dad was an alcoholic, or your mother, or maybe she was some kind of person who was very depressed. And whatever that circumstance was that caused you the insecurity, you rebelled. Or you may have, when you became insecure, withdrew. There are three things you can do, and this is how children act in their early in formation: compliance, rebellion, withdrawal. And as you went along, that inner self always carried that anxiety. Underneath the rebellion, underneath the compliance, underneath the withdrawal. There is only one who can fulfill that security that you're longing for. And he is the one who wants to be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is the Almighty, ever-living, ever-loving, ever-present God, there all the time. Now, for you to begin to see the relationship, Jesus said to his disciples, "Who is my mother and brother and sister? He who does the will of my Father is brother, mother, and sister to me." And so in the deepest part of your being, the recognition that is, God is your Father. He wants to take care of you. And you, in faith and sincerity, turn to him. Whatever you ask him, he will give you. He loves you with an infinite love. He is there. You have faith in you. Some of us have more than others. But as you listen to this, what is the depth of your faith? And so when you look, and when I tell you about God as your Father, he is the first person of this Trinity. He is the author and font of all things. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He made it all. Look at anything around you, the sky, the stars, the sun. He made it all. He doesn't even get tired. And all of that doesn't mean as much to him as you do. For you, he loved you so much that he had a son whom he sent down to earth to become one like us. Imagine the love that's in the Father for you, that he let his only begotten son become a flesh like ours, a half animal, because that's what we are. We're half spirit, half animal. And he became incarnate. He became flesh. He became a human. Jesus is his name. And he loved you so much, that son of his, that he looks at you even now. This Father and this Jesus are present to you as I speak. And Jesus said, "I will die for you. So much do I love you." Yes, that's the gospel truth. And he did. He died for you and he rose again. He conquered in that resurrection sin and Satan and death. He is alive. And he went back and is at the right hand of the Father. When he came to earth, he said, "I will be with you all days till the end of the world." He is here in our world this beautiful day of June. He's here with you, in you, loving you. Turn to him. The one who assists you in that is the Spirit. And so as you call upon the Holy Spirit, whom he sent after he ascended into heaven, "Come, Holy Spirit." He dwells in you, especially if you're a baptized Christian. He dwells in you by baptism. If you're not, he dwells in you by the Holy Spirit. This voice that is reaching you now and speaking to you, you may be unbaptized, but you are God's child by the power of the Holy Spirit, who's drawing you, luring you, wanting you. In the depths of your being, there is not one human being who will hear this voice and not be attracted by God. So precious are you, dear, not because of me, but because of Him who loves you, the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit. You also have the great assistance of a woman, Mary, who is the mother of Jesus, whom God gave you when his mother was there and he was dying on the cross. And he said to John, "Behold your mother." And he said to Mary, "Behold your son." In that exchange, in his death on the cross, he gave Mary as mother to every human being. Do you want a mother's love? And is that what you're lacking and causing you fear and worry and anxiety? Was your mother so overwrought she couldn't mother you? Was your father so disadvantaged that he never could father you? Well, your father is God, and Mary is your mother. You have a heavenly home, which Jesus has prepared for you, not only hereafter, but here in this world, in the holy, loving Trinity that wants to dwell in you. The temple is you. You are a member of that church, because that's what the church is. It's living stones. It's the body of Christ. You belong to Him, and He belongs to you. He longs for you.
Thank you, Monsignor.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this program or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.